Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 31, and it's a Monday, December 19, 2016. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
Yes, and this is the last show of the year. And we've been doing this since, February? We've been recording the show since February.
And February or March?
March? Can't remember. It's been so long.
It's been 31 episodes ago. Yeah, we missed a couple, so it might be.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to wrap up the year with a few stories. We're not going to do any reviews or anything, but really just, you know, just
like
Ray and I.
Wrap it up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Ray and I are just going to end the year with some interesting stories. But before we go, go with the stories, we do have some sad news and sad stories because, you know, some people, we have lost people.
Yeah, we have to say goodbye to Buzz Aldrin, who passed away last week, who was an astronaut, who was a big deal in my childhood because he went to the moon.
He went to the moon. And growing up myself, it's something that in school we would talk about him and Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. And it's really awesome that we have humans who actually went to the moon.
Yeah. And the awesome and great Zsa Zsa Gabor. Mm-hmm. One of the Gabor sisters.
But you know,
I know a lot of you younger audience have no idea who Zsa Zsa Gabor is. She was the Kim Kardashian of her day.
That's right. Yes.
She was famous for being famous.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And she's Hungarian. And she's
an actress. She's very pretty. Mm-hmm. She's had more husbands than Liz Taylor, I think.
Really?
I think she had 9.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, she's pretty big in the showbiz industry, and then she died at 99.
Yeah, I mean she's been out of the scene for years now. She probably hadn't done anything. And
do you think she had still
probably
had
30 years except for be social? Her last great thing, I think, was the last time she was driving, she slapped a cop, and I think that was back in the 90s. He's pulled her over for speeding or for failing to yield or something.
In the
and
90s,
she slapped him. Slapped him.
That means that she was in her 70s.
So,
yeah. Wow.
So, and everything. So,
that's really sad that we lost her. Yeah, but, you know, it's they lived a good life.
Yeah. Right? If you ever seen the TV show Green Acres, go find it and watch the episode. That was Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Okay. I'll probably put that in my Plex or something.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to. Oh wait, before that, we have some weekend updates before we end the. So last weekend went to Ray's because we had the game night. What did we play, Ray?
We played a game called the Farming Game.
The Farming Game. It was made in 1976.
What?
It was made. It was designed and distributed in 1976.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't get all that information.
Yeah, it's in.
So I was cooking. I was busy doing
that. Oh, yeah. Ray cooked a very amazing, amazing meat. I love your meat, Ray.
My meat. Everybody loves my meat.
That's probably the title of the show.
Everybody loves Ray's meat. It's so true. So
yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yo, so we do. We had a good dinner, and we had a couple of friends, Martin and Juan and Julio and Ryan. We played. Yeah. The Farming Game.
And for about what, 3 hours?
3 hours or more. We played around 8 o'clock, I think, or 7:30.
We ended about midnight.
It was 4 hours. God.
And I think I was just so tired, I was like, okay, I'm gonna call an accounting here because I think I won. Yeah. And then come to find out
who
the Puerto Rican won.
Oh God. Yeah, Julio always wins. So it was a fun night. I mean, we should play it again because we were learning our way around it, and we just didn't know that you have to take risks.
Yeah. Well, the game is kind of like Monopoly in the layout of it, and it's played very similarly, but it's also building and buying and loaning money and spending money and all the chance cards and stuff. So it's all like that. So it's a very interesting game, and it's very realistic because Maynard. Let's put it this way: Maynard would not make it as a farmer.
No, I won't. Not at all. No.
Not at all. So, because everybody's like, what do you mean I got to pay $1,200 because the tractor broke? Like, well, welcome to real life because that's usually what happened.
Yeah, because what's happening usually is once you get ahead and then you get hit by a $7,000, let's say you won or you gained $8,000, and then later you find out that you have to pay $7,000 for a tractor to be repaired, and then you're really not ahead. I mean, you just couldn't get ahead easily.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about being in a farm. You never
and Ray used to be a farmer. You used to be a farmer. Farmer Ray.
I live the real farming game.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So,
and I also got to use a pressure washer last weekend and clean the. I felt so butch.
Did you put your Speedos and have your flip flops on and doing it?
No, it was 34 degrees. I'm not gonna wear Speedos. It maybe underneath I could have, but yeah, I had to wrap up because it's really really cold last weekend.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, it was.
Saturday was super hot.
It was. That's the point. It was like 80. It went down to 40 degrees here in Houston.
So you did this on Sunday?
Yeah, I did
it on
Sunday.
Why you did it on Saturday? Why it was 80 degrees? And then you could have been in your Speedo.
Well, I couldn't because of the schedule.
And all the daddies in the hood could be checking you out.
The not the soldier, not the cop, no.
There's others.
There are others.
There's a lot of butch trucks riding around here.
I could have, but I didn't. But it was okay. I mean, it was good to clean the patio and then, you know, just... you could see the transformation when you really pressure wash. It's awesome. I mean, I want one. I feel that the driveway is really clean too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot of work. Took us about 2 or 3 hours.
Took us. Who did it?
Oh yeah, Mark, helped me out. So.
Oh, the side piece coming up, Joe.
Yeah. So it was good. It was. It took a long time. We were all wet. We're all muddy. You get so muddy. After doing it. So, yeah, it was fun. And what did you watch last weekend, Ray?
Well, I went Sunday and saw Rogue One.
That's right. Without me.
Well, I asked you to come. And you're like, no, I got to go see it with Mike. And I'm like, well, you can still go see it with Mike, but you can come watch it with us.
That's right. I kind of promised Mike that we're going to watch it together. So
I think maybe this week, some point, I might go back and see it again. Or maybe I get up and do the early show on Saturday and then watch Star Wars... The Empire Strikes Back and The Return of the Jedi, all back to back, because that would lay everything out and make you catch stuff that you never saw before.
That's right, because that's the point of it. I kind of heard a little bit of spoilers about it, that it really happened before A New Hope.
Yeah, it goes from the end of this movie to A New Hope starting.
Yep.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Which is awesome.
So it answers a lot of questions about... A lot of stuff in the Star Wars universe.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to see it this coming week. So
clears up a lot of stuff, and there are comments that are made in the Star Wars movie about how they got the Death Star plans. Mm-hmm. So now you get to see how they got the Death Star plans.
Yeah, because that's pretty much the point of this.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into that, spoilers. I hope we don't get any spoilers. Yeah. No, after this show, don't give me any spoilers, Ray. Okay, let's go to our articles here. So. Okay.
Let's do the gay.
Oh, this is interesting. I got things to talk about in this one. Sure, go ahead.
All right. Our gay this week. More and more straight guys are giving up bro jobs and engaging in dude sex. So let's see here. What does this article? Tony Silva, a researcher at the University of Oregon, who recently did a study on the growing phenomenon and just published a paper called Bud Sex, Constructing Normative Masculinity Among Rural Straight Men That Have Sex with Men About It. According to Silva, dude sex, or bud sex, I'm quoting in there for you guys, is when two guys, usually from a rural area and who identify as straight, hook up together in a discreet, non-strings-associated sort of way. They have wives, they have kids, they consider themselves to be heterosexual, but they're also able to compartmentalize sex in a way that allows them to occasionally bump uglies with other guys without complicating anything.
Yeah, no NSA, no strings attached.
That's right, no strings attached. Silver interviewed 19 white, rural, straight-identifying men who say they've had dude sex. He found most of them on the pages of Craigslist, male for male, casual encounter ads. All the guys came from socially conservative and predominant white populations in Missouri, Illinois, Oregon, Washington, or Idaho, and most of them identified as either exclusively or mostly straight, with a few identifying as straight but bi but more straight. Silva spoke with them for about an hour and a half each, and what he learned was pretty interesting. Many of the guys, they engaged in dude sex as a way of helping a buddy out.
It's like a favor to a friend.
Helping a buddy out, relieving urges, or simply experimenting or satisfying curiosities without experiencing any sexual attraction for the person with whom they were experimenting. Civ also found that the dude sex guides their thoughts, taste, and practices. It provides them with their fundamental sense of self. It structures how they understand the world around them. And it influences how they codify the sameness and difference. Mm-hmm. In other words, it helps them scratch a certain curiosity itch while simultaneously reaffirming their heterosexuality, because now they've tried it, they realize that man-on-man sex isn't for them. Or maybe it is. It's all about learning and growing as individuals.
So it's like a distraction for them, or like it's a learning experience for them. Yeah. They just do it for the first time.
But I'm thinking that if he had a larger cross-section of people to interview and stuff about this, how many of them repeated this behavior?
Yeah, and then so, they keep saying it's the first time. Not really. Yeah.
So one thing Silva noted, that most of the men were seeking other men like them, straight identifying, married, et cetera, et cetera. This is a key element of bud sex, he writes in a study. Partnering with other men similarly privileged on several intersection axes, gender, race, and sexual identity, allow the participants to normalize and authenticate their sexual experiences as normatively masculine. Mm-hmm. By hooking up with guys similar to them, Silver noted many of the men didn't feel their heterosexual identities were threatened. But having sex with a gay man somehow made them feel more gay. In fact, a handful of subjects said they were turned off by effeminate faggot types or flaming queens who were too flamboyant. If I wanted that, someone that acts girlish, I got a wife at home.
I always hear that. I have a wife at home. I don't want somebody that's girly. That's what they say.
Another guy. I mean, they're looking for sex. They're not looking for emotions or anything like that. So,
don't a lot of gay guys do that anyway right now?
Well, I think my interaction with married men, and one of the ways they're able to get away with this bro sex stuff, mm-hmm. is because they meet guys of similar status. And their wives are like, oh, they're friends. And they can go off hunting, do all this stuff.
Oh, it's like Brokeback.
Kind of like that. Kind of like that. It's just like they get their own thing on the side that they go do, and then they go back home. Mm-hmm. And they're not worried about some guy falling in love with them or something like this. Because recently, in the last year, I met up with a married man.
Okay.
And I was like, you have a wife and kids. Why are you wanting to hook up with another guy? And he was just like, well, I had a regular fuck buddy that me and him had an ongoing relationship for years, but then the other guy's wife found out about it.
Okay.
And I said, so what was the deal with him? I mean, he was just like, well, he was like, it served a need that I had. Mm-hmm. He said, me and my wife are happily married. We're not getting divorced. She knows that my wife knows that I'm doing this. The other guy's wife didn't. She's not happy about it, but we're letting each other do our own thing and stuff. So it's interesting to hear that. And I'm just like, and I wonder if their wives really know, or are they just saying that to make whoever they're hooking up with feel better?
Yeah, they may have talked about it already. Who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So back to the article. A guy would consider more like me that gets blowjobs from guys every once in a while doesn't do it every day, another subject said. There are many manly guys and doing manly stuff and just happen to have oral sex with men once in a while. So that's why I kind of prefer those types of guys.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Other reasons men say they prefer to have dude sex as opposed to gay sex was because it happened quicker and didn't involve any lengthy email exchanges, or they felt there wasn't any threat of the other man becoming emotionally attached to them.
So they actually fuck each other.
I think a lot of it's oral sex, but I'm sure some of it leads to anal sex too.
Yeah.
So other reasons men say they prefer to have dude sex opposed to gay sex is because I think I identify with them more because that's kind of like how I feel myself. And bi guys are the same way. We can talk about women there. And there have been times we watched hetero porn before we got started or whatever. So I prefer that.
You watch hetero porn. Okay.
I like watching hetero porn.
Yeah. Okay.
Other men reported that they enjoyed their friendship part most, and the sex was just sort of a naturally occurring afterthought. So they already had friends that they felt comfortable with.
Yeah.
In a lot of these cases, it seems like. Mm-hmm. We talked for an hour or so over coffee, one guy said. Then we go get a blowjob, and then we part our ways.
Awesome.
I go on road trips, drink beer, and go down to the city to look at chicks and go out and eat, shoot pool. I got one friend I hike with, another guy explained. It normally leads to sex, but we go out and do activities other than that when we meet and suck.
Wow.
If my wife's gone for a weekend, a third guy said, I'll go to his place and spend the night or two with him. We obviously do things other than sex. So, yeah, We go to dinner, go out shopping and stuff like that. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. They go shopping. They're gay.
No, they're not shopping.
They're not shopping. They said they're shopping.
Oh, that's right. They do go shopping.
They go out shopping. I'm kidding. So, yeah, it's interesting. Okay. So this is, we had a pre-show.
But some guys, I've noticed, I've met some that like to go shopping with other guys.
Yeah. I mean, dude like stuff.
They like to get other guys' opinion on how clothes look on them because they don't trust their wives because wives dress you up to make you look unattractive to other women. So.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
Yes. So,
I never heard of that. I should have.
So, and you go with a wife and they're nagging and they're wanting to go look at stuff and you're trying to look at stuff. So it's when you got two, it's like two women going out shopping, it's two men. They get to go concentrate on what they want to do.
Dude, that hat looks good on you.
All this emotional and all this other baggage into it. It's like, you know, do these blue jeans make my butt look big?
I don't know if they do that. Okay. So going back to about sex. So there's a kind of a pre-show talk that Ray and I did. It's about, you know, if they're going to be fucking each other, then it has to be something like it's always probably doggy or all in fours, because they would just want to get off. But not necessarily looking at them, well, fucking them, right?
Well, on Tumblr, one of my favorite guys that I follow, he always posts videos. He's a muscle guy, and his next door neighbor is a muscle guy that's married, and he always comes over and they have sex together. Mm-hmm. And the other guy that's the bottom is the married guy, but he likes getting fucked.
Yeah.
So he's always posting video. I mean, they post a couple videos a week, so they're having sex a couple times a week.
Are they beefy or just muscular?
They're beefy, muscular. I mean, one of them's really cut. The neighbor's not as cut as the guy that does.
Like a little chubby?
A little beefy. I mean, he's not all ripped and stuff. The other guy's more defined and more flat. Some of the other one's got kind of a little bit of beer gut on him, but
okay.
He's still really nice and beefy and looks good.
So. Okay, tell me later tell me later the Tumblr name. Okay, yeah, I'll follow him. Okay, so yeah, it's interesting that these guys are you know in like in the article said it's more rural.
Rural.
It happens in rural places. I guess they can't do it. They don't do anything else.
Back home, I mean, I'm from rural South Carolina. I float around with. Guys, and it wasn't anything serious. I mean, at times I wished it had because I wanted more, but.
So do you think you kind of fall into this? Because you're not really straight.
Look, girl.
Don't make me slap you. Thank you, Ray. Anyway, so I'm just saying that this occurs more probably in rural areas because.
Well, yeah, because
they don't do much.
In the city, there's too easy to hook up. I mean, there's all these apps and stuff now, and the straight men have figured out how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And Tinder has gay men on it, so if a straight guy's on Tinder and he sees a guy, then he's like,
Yeah, swipe to the left.
Swipe.
I don't even know how to swipe there.
I think it's right swipe.
Right swipe is good?
Left swipe is no, because you put it past them. Right swipe is when you like him, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't mess with Tinder.
I don't mess with Tinder either. Okay, is that interesting? What do you guys think about it? What do you guys think about bro jobs? We talked about bro jobs before. Now they're having dude sex.
But in the gay culture, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, there are a lot of gay guys that hang out and have sex with each other.
And they're friends, and they
just do it because they need that sexual release, and they feel comfortable with it, and it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot. I know, it's just very understandable.
Not with me and my friends, because they're all bears, so.
That's right.
I'm sure someone would like for it to happen, but.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's move on to the next article. It's actually a geek. Our geek right now is about Muslim registries. And, the incoming regime, U.S. regime, of course, the regime of Trump is.
Hail Trump.
This was the platform. But then, of course, people are still drumming up this conversation about it. But I don't think it's going to happen. But then, of course, these big tech companies have to explicitly say that they're not going to do it. So here's an article here. Apple, Google, and Uber join list of tech companies, so there's a lot more, refusing to build Muslim registry, which is just right. Apple, Google, and Uber have all broken their respective silences on whether they would participate in helping build a Muslim registry for the incoming Trump administration, BuzzFeed reports. In a statement issued today, or when was this? Oh, yeah, this the other day, right? Last week, an Apple spokesperson said, "We think people should be treated the same no matter how they worship, what they look, who they love. We haven't been asked, and we would oppose such an effort." Earlier today, a Google spokesperson issued a statement saying, in relation to the hypothetical of whether we would ever help build a Muslim registry, we haven't been asked. Of course, we wouldn't do this, and we are glad from all that we've read. From all that we've read, that the proposal doesn't seem to be on the table. See, they really don't want to talk about it, but it's on the table. But it's not on the table, well, but they just want to be clear about it. So,
President-elect Trump went to the big tech conference the other week. So I'm sure that provoked some of this.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. So meanwhile, Uber, of course, one of the biggest now, Uber responded to BuzzFeed with a terse no in response to a similar inquiry. These are just the latest, but arguably among the most important and high-profile Silicon Valley players to go on record refusing to build a database that could be used to track and target Muslim Americans. Pressure started mounting last month when The Intercept began asking tech companies about the subject and only received a response from Twitter, which said it would never participate in such a project. So the situation had heightened this week when a Facebook spokesperson who had initially refused to comment on the matter accidentally emailed BuzzFeed a message intended for a colleague. Interesting. They're not being careful. This is a different topic now. This is them being not careful sending their emails. So the email compared any statement regarding the building of a Muslim registry to a straw man argument and suggested Facebook's PR strategy should be to remain silent. BuzzFeed published the email, which then forced Facebook to issue a statement saying it had not been asked nor would it agree to help build a Muslim registry. So since Facebook's...
Someone who lost a job at Facebook last
Probably
week.
Someone who did. Facebook's embarrassing stumble. A number of other tech companies have gone on the record disavowing the highly controversial Trump campaign promise. Microsoft PR head Frank X. Shaw said in a statement given to a BuzzFeed, "We oppose discrimination." See, Microsoft now. Microsoft is now doing it now. Yeah. "And we wouldn't do any work to build a registry of Muslim Americans." Both Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella and Alphabet Chief Larry Page. Alphabet is, you know, used to be Google, but now Alphabet is the bigger company owning Google. Okay. Chief Larry Page attended a summit with President-elect Donald Trump on Wednesday, as did Apple CEO Tim Cook and Uber CEO Travis Kalanick. This is a long article, but then the bottom line here is that people, tech companies, are explicitly saying that they're not going to do any registering now.
Well, because, I mean, they've all read the X-Men, so they know what happens when you start registering people.
That's right. It's actually, Stan Lee? Did Stan Lee have that forethought?
We say how it went for the Germans and the Jews.
Yeah, and the gays.
And the registering and the gays when they started doing that. So we know how well this goes when you start registering people.
That's right. So
just like getting in a bridal registry is expensive and somebody gets their feelings hurt.
So because for one thing, you know, it's really easy to do it. You're like Facebook. Facebook can collect so much information, and they can practically scan your posts and everything and actually deduce that what religion you are or whatever.
Yeah.
And
like, I ordered some stuff for Christmas. So now all these ads come up for some of the similar stuff that I ordered for Christmas, trying to sell it to me.
Yeah,
and the ad feed up for Facebook.
That's okay. I mean, not necessarily okay, but that is something that their business model is. They keep the site free, but then in return, they know information about you that they can scan. They can have algorithms to actually determine what kind of interest that they can sell you with.
Yeah.
So that's okay. I mean, not really okay. Kind of dickish move, but that's the price.
Well, but that's how they sell. Make money as they sell that information to companies, marketing.
Yeah, that's true. They can do that. However, having a registry itself is actually pinpointing people, which they can do. They can really do that. Mm-hmm. And they won't. They explicitly say they won't. Especially Apple. Can you imagine there's a checkbox on your Apple account to say, I'm a Muslim or something, what religion you're in? Or
people on Facebook have their religion published. So they already got information on some people if they want it.
Yeah, that's true. Probably a few million. And then, of course, in Uber, they collect information. If they see, Uber is a big player too. Because what they can do is not only do they know if they do require registration, they also know your destinations.
Yeah.
Because you are Uber, you've been chaperoning people back and forth. You know, it's really a lot of things that they can do. These three big tech companies that could really harm a lot of American people. But I'm glad that these tech companies are really explicitly saying that they're not going to do any Muslim registries. So, okay. So let's go to the bizarre, Ray.
Okay, we got two bizarres this week. One's not bizarre, it's just nasty little teenage boys.
You've tasted this before. Not on pastry,
well,
though.
Let's talk about this article a little bit here.
Okay.
Students feed teacher pastry frosted with semen. Three high school students have been charged after they allegedly tainted some baked goods with their own semen. The boys, all freshmen at Westside High School, went to the bathroom and masturbated into containers. Talking about bro sex. Masturbated into containers before they mixed the semen into frosting, according to the Omaha Police. I started to say Obama Police Department. The Omaha Police Department. They then coated the mixture with some turnovers, which their female teacher ate. Upon tasting it, the teacher felt something was off with the taste. So she knows what semen looks like.
Exactly.
If she knew the taste was off, she knows what semen tastes like. That was when another student told the teacher about the boy's plot he had overheard. Two of the three teens were charged with disturbing the peace and lewd conduct. The third student wasn't charged as investigators believe he didn't participate. In other words, he didn't jack off.
He caught it.
He just watched. He just watched. Existence happened in jack off. The name of the suspects are not being released as they're juveniles. No state law constitutes their alleged crimes as a felony.
Mm-hmm. So that other guy who claimed to be innocent, maybe, you know, he was the fluffer. hey, let me help you guys. I'm not going to ejaculate into it, but I'm going to help you guys. So he started giving them bro jobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the teacher knew the taste.
Yeah, she knew the taste of something wrong, and then she enjoyed it for a while. She actually finished the donut first and then complained.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't know. I just added that in. I'm not sure what she did. Yeah. But I'm sure she knew how it tasted. There's something wrong about this. It was just in the tip of my tongue last night.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Okay, so.
See, this is yet another reason why I don't need to go to Australia.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because everything down there tries to kill you.
Yeah, that's right. So, Australian woman finds snake curled in a Christmas tree. Oh, my God. It must be a real tree, and the snake came along with it.
It might be a fake tree.
No. A woman has discovered a 1-meter-long venomous snake. 1 meter? It's pretty short, but still, it's venomous.
Feet.
Yeah, 3 feet. It's just like this, you know. It's a yard, almost a yard.
A snake is a snake. You don't care if it's a baby snake. Or if it's a grown snake, or if it's 30 feet
What did
long.
Patrick say about snake? What do you think of snakes? What's a good snake? A dead snake.
Only good snake.
So a woman discovered a 1-meter-long venomous snake wrapped around her Christmas tree in Australia. The woman called for help to remove the tiger snake from her suburban home in Melbourne, Victoria on Sunday. Snake catcher Barry Goldsmith said the reptile entered through an open door before curling up around the decorations. Mr. Goldsmith said the woman reacted quite well after making the discovery. She left the room, put a towel down as a door jam, and came and rang me, he told the BBC. The snake was released back into the wild, right in the backyard probably. She'll be back again the next morning.
I'm sure that takes a more wooded area.
Yeah. The species is protected in most Australian states. Oh, okay. They should. They should keep it alive. Yeah. Mr. Goldsmith said he was used to finding snakes in unusual places. I found them in UGG boots, washing machines, dog kennels. Ooh, dog kennels? Cat boxes, toilets, kitchen cupboards, and bookcases. So, yeah, it's interesting that of course, you can't avoid really snakes there in Australia. I mean,
yeah.
But then you have openings. You got to think about that in your house. You have to.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, a place with snakes, like, I don't leave my doors open.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary.
I mean, in the South, a lot of people have screen porches, so they'll leave the door open and stuff because they got a screen porch. So that's okay to me. But having just an open door and not being sitting there watching it, things can come in.
Yeah. But, you know, think about it also.
We got with the Zika here, so that's a whole other story.
Well, yeah, that's a virus from a mosquito or something like that. But this is, this is an animal, a reptile, mm-hmm. that actually can go in through holes, mm-hmm. through holes yeah. in the house and do. Think about houses who have doggy doors.
True.
Alligators. Alligators, like if you're living in Florida, maybe. What do you what's stopping alligators from you know getting inside the house through your doggy door? Is that what you call it? Doggy door?
Yeah, the doggy door.
The doggy
yeah.
door. Okay. It is scary.
And there are this video. I mean, there's a video just like this year that came out with alligators crawling up and beating on the woman's front door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to get to the dog because the dog was sitting there barking at it and had the glass door and it was crawled all up on the glass door.
Oh, God.
It was like 8-9 feet long.
I would be so scared. Anyway, so yeah. So that's our story, guys. What do you guys think? It's are you going to go to Australia? Well, Australia, I didn't see much. I did see kangaroos when I was there. A true koala bear. But I don't know about the alligators.
You didn't see that giant rat-eating spider, did you?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, New York has the pizza rat. Australia has spiders that eat rats.
Oh, gosh. The spider eats the rat.
Eats the rat.
So
the spider's big enough that it can get a big New York rat and drag it around.
Well, how spiders do it, they catch them first with their web and then wrap them around the web. You know what happened to Samwise Gamgee? You know, wrap it around. Or,
no, it just caught a rat and injected it with poison and then hauled it off to go eat it.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. It needs to die.
It literally was as big as your laptop, how big the freaking spider was.
Oh, my God. That's so scary. I'm sure, Perry, many people are really scared of that. Okay, so, yeah, so to close the year before we go, we'd like to do some shout outs. You haven't done shout outs for a long time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Stay warm, Z, who's up in Dallas with no heat.
That's right. Z, he was a listener in our former podcast called The Bear Podcast, and I guess he lost touch with us. I guess now
he didn't really listen to the show because he hadn't been paying attention that much. And he's like, "Oh, y'all started back?" I was like, "Yeah." Uh-huh. I said, like, "We're 31 episodes in now." He's like, "Oh God, I gotta go catch up."
Okay, that's good. Well, yeah, Z, welcome back to the podcasting world. Okay, that's awesome. So I would like to thank Cesar for helping us with the great articles in Gay Geek Bazaar Facebook page. You can find it at facebook.com/gaygeekbazaar. And you can email us at show@gaygeekbazaar.com.
Or give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. We would love nothing better to get a phone call for you and hear you say Merry Christmas to us or Happy New Year mm-hmm. or season's greetings or can I send you nude pics? Anyway, the phone number again is 281-947-2327.
Yes. And you can also follow us on Facebook, like I said earlier, and Twitter. And we are on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. And go to the official website at gaygeekbazaar.com. Well, happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. New happy New Year.
Here, we'll talk to you after the New Year.
Yeah, we'll come back in the first week. See you guys next year. Bye.